Hello Blues, welcome back to the Grand Old Team podcast. I'm Adam Partington. As you will already know, there's been some massive news out of Everton today. Ronald Koeman has been sacked. So as soon as I got home from work, me and Dave jumped on a call, Groucho from the site, and decided to record a podcast. However, the first 2 minutes, it's just a little bit crackly, so you just got to bear with it, but stick with it. It soon goes away. And obviously, you know, this is a really good episode. Enjoyed doing it. We look at the different candidates, potentially people who can replace Ronald Koeman. So as always, enjoy. But I just wanted to give you the heads up before the podcast started. To stick with it, and as always, thank you for listening to Grand Old Team.
And now Horn, Stewart wants it, and looks for Amakechi.
It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And if you know your history, it's enough to make your heart go. Whoa.
Hello and welcome to the Grand Old Team podcast. As I'm sure you have heard by now, Everton have sacked manager Ronald Koeman after their 5-2 loss at home to Arsenal on Sunday that saw them slip into the relegation zone. The club made their announcement shortly after 1 p.m. on Monday, with Everton chairman Bill Kenwright and chief executive Robert Alston having early arrived at the Finch Farm training ground. Everton spent heavily in the summer on players like Michael Keane, Davy Klassen, Jordan Pickford, Gylfi Sigurdsson and Wayne Rooney, but now are obviously 18th in the table, having made their third worst start to a Premier League campaign. Well, I am joined by Grand Old Team regular. It's Mr. Groucho, Dave the Rave. Dave, nice to speak to you.
Hi.
You okay?
Not too bad. I'm feeling a bit more relieved now with all that, I think.
Well, let's get on to the important stuff first. What have you had for tea?
Roast chicken.
Roast chicken?
Yeah, just classic, straight down the middle. Yeah, didn't get a chance to have a roast yesterday, so do it on a Monday.
You've gone back to basics.
Absolutely.
I like it, mate. I like it. Have you cooked that because you're off at the moment?
I had the day off, so I did it.
Yeah. Oh, being a good house husband.
That's the one. That's
I like
the
one. It, mate.
Salt and pepper on the chicken and the roasties. Skin on roasties. And just peas and Yorkshire puddings straight down the middle.
Roasties are fucking amazing, aren't they?
Mm.
Got loads of time for him. Well, big news, mate. Big news. I don't think any of us... a lot of us wanted it, but nobody... I didn't really expect it. You know what I mean?
No, it had gone that far in the day. It had gone past 11 o'clock, and I thought, nothing's happening here then, is it? He'll be in charge for another couple of weeks at least, and then all of a sudden, he's gone. Which I think had to happen. I'm not a fan of sacking managers, to be honest with you. Never like to see it. But, as with Martinez, I think it was overdue. It had to be done. I know we're 8 points in the bottom three on goal difference. 2 wins takes us into the top half, doesn't it? Or 2 points behind Liverpool and the rest of them. But you're still, regardless of how you're in it, you don't want to be in the bottom three.
No.
I watched yesterday's performance and it was just... the weird thing is, in some parts of it, it was better than it had been in the past couple of weeks in very slight terms, but it was still crap. They're just playing with... I wouldn't say it was, you know, they're not playing for the manager or anything, but they just weren't playing with a purpose, and I think that ultimately comes down to him motivating them. It was a lot of those players were his. He bought a lot of them, but for whatever reason, I wanted it to work for him. He's such a big name in world football, certainly was as a player anyway, but it just wasn't happening, was he?
No, and that's it. I'm with you, you know. I stopped short of saying that I wanted to sack him anywhere. There's anywhere on record where I've said that. Certainly haven't said it on Twitter. I've not said it on the times that I've been on radio. Because I desperately, even this morning, I think I said on our WhatsApp group, you know, I still desperately want him to succeed. Not because I overly like him, just because of the fact that we'll have to go out there and try and find a new manager.
Start again, in a way, yeah.
Yeah, and but with that said, Dave, if it's not working, it's not working, and it evidently wasn't. I've got some really interesting stats here from Opta Joe. So, for all of the 9 clubs that Ronald Koeman managed, only at Valencia had he averaged fewer points per game than at Everton, which is quite intriguing. Everton picked up just 1 point after 3 Europa League group stage games, the worst start of any English club at this stage. Now, this one, mate, this one is quite damning. Everton have scored the same number of Premier League goals this season that former striker Romelu Lukaku has got on his own. Yeah. And that's the worst start to a season that we've had, a total of 8 points. It's the worst tally after 9 games of a Premier League season since 2005-2006, which I remember that being a really depressing and grim season. So,
yeah,
them statistics kind of speak for themselves. And then I did see, I think it was David Downey retweeted something yesterday. I don't know if you've seen this.
Was this the Sunderland one?
Yes.
About we've actually got, was it the same amount of points as Sunderland last season, but we've conceded more and scored less or something?
Yes.
Something along those lines.
When I saw that, that's when it kind of dawned on me. And it shouldn't have needed a tweet like that to really, you know, hammer at home how poor we were. But I thought, that's really, really bad. Because if you remember, I mean, everyone had Sunderland written off by about October last season. So I was thinking,
oh, yeah.
You know, and yeah. So, yeah, we're just briefly, and there's no point of harping on too much now about Koeman, Dave. I'm sure you'll agree. We've got to look to the future as Evertonians. And you know, it's something that it's all of a sudden, although it's a new, you know, a bit of a challenge again, and we're not in the best position. It's also exciting in its own little way because there's going to be a new guy, and that's good. But where, in your opinion, mate, did Koeman go wrong?
Where did he go wrong? I think, if the story's to be believed, he's been a bit too cocky and not necessarily maybe aloof. I know that was a criticism given to Moyes, wasn't it? Maybe he's been a little bit similar to him, but with disastrous consequences. If he's, as were to be led to be believed, rub players up the wrong way, hence, you know, I don't know if you saw Robles' Instagram post, which he did do to Martinez as well, but still he did that. He's fallen out with Morales, if it's to be believed. He's who admittedly could fall out with himself, and also he's fallen out with Ross Barkley. That's the big one. If you start to fall out with players like that and they're sort of producing non-performances for you, I think that's where he's gone wrong. I think this is just my opinion, I don't know, he's probably had an overinflated opinion of himself because he's got such a record as a player.
Yeah.
He's done okay at Southampton, and he's come here going, I'm Ronald Koeman. I'm better than everybody else. I've won the European Cup, etc., etc. And I think he's thought he's better than he actually is. He's probably not been humble enough. Not necessarily up himself, but without knowing him personally, that part's difficult to say. But I would say it's probably sort of in his I'm great, you're not, sort of attitude. That's how he struck me. Kevin Ratcliffe was on the radio on BBC Merseyside before talking to Paul Salt on their programme, saying he's he never ever once called us. We were always Everton. And it hit the nail on the head, because, I mean, I think in all the press conferences in his, was it 500 days, I think he was here. I think I heard him say us once in relation to Everton. That just suggests to me that, you know, obviously we knew it wasn't going to be a long-term one, but it was almost like it was a bit disrespectful, I thought. So, I don't think he, in the same way as Lukaku, perhaps, ironically, Lukaku probably left because of him, but they've sort of had the same attitude towards Everton, and I think that's where they've fallen down. Lukaku could just go to Man U, get his dream move and carry on doing whatever he's doing, not care about anybody else. Koeman's not the same, he gets sacked. Players don't tend to get sacked, do they? He's been sacked. It's on his record now. So I reckon it's something to do with his mental attitude.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Interesting to bring up Lukaku. Lukaku, though, has the football and ability to back up a lot of his claims, I think, anyway. Whereas, you know, if what you said there is true, and it is hard to know because we're not on the inside, but if Koeman did have this kind of, you know, inflated opinion of his own abilities as a manager, then, you know, he's done little within his career to back that up, really. I mean, he has failed at some, Valencia being a good example, you know, similar to clubs to Everton.
He won the cup but nearly got relegated.
Exactly, and then got sacked. I don't think that, well, I mean, I don't know, he might consider that to be a success, but then there's been other places he's been to, and then at Southampton, you know, admittedly he did do a good job, but I wonder whether the fact that Everton chased him in the way that they did and, you know, kind of wrenched him out of Southampton, whether or not he kind of thought, well, I'm coming here and, you know, and they've done whatever, they've done all this to get me here, well, I can kind of do what I want, or I can behave in a way.
I can get away with anything. He thought he was untouchable.
Yeah, maybe he started to believe his own hype a little bit too much. Yeah. And that's
I honestly think that's where he went wrong. And because he was such a good player, I think he looked down on the players that he had, because let's face it, he was a good player, you know, of the time. Maybe he thought to the other players, you're not as good as me. And that was his attitude. Because if you were a player, that would piss you off, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And whereas it can work in your advantage in the sense that your players will look up to you and go, well, this guy knows what he's talking about.
They're likely to do what they've done, which is down to us, not bothered. If we can't please you, why bother? Mm. I mean, this is conjecture, this is just opinion, but that's just what I think.
Yeah, I don't think... Look, with Martinez, it was very clear that they did down tools, and I think... It was evident to everybody, especially after that Leicester game, that they did want him to leave the players. The players do have to take some responsibility, of course they do. They go out there and they play. I think the issue from my perspective is I think some of them haven't quite understood what he was wanting them to do. Made massive changes. I think he's gone down a road where he thought, I'll replace Lukaku's goals with those individual players. After we were saying, you know, that's what we were saying on the last podcast, wasn't it? And that hasn't worked. You know, I'll replace his goals with Sigurdsson, will get me a certain amount, Klaassen will get me a certain amount, Rooney will get me a certain amount, and then I'll bring in a centre forward. That's not happened. Who's to blame for that? I mean, it's not completely clear.
We don't know, do we? That's the thing.
No, we don't know. But yeah, you're right. I remember, interestingly, it kind of brings back a story I heard a few years back about Paul. This is Paul Merson. I'm not, you know, saying that he's on par with Ronald Koeman in terms of what he knows about football. However, I vaguely remember him talking about Roy Keane, I think it was. Roy Keane at Ipswich. It was on Soccer Saturday, this was, and he was talking about how Keane used to get really annoyed. And he said it was something similar to happen to him at Walsall as well, when he was at Walsall Merson. But Roy Keane, when he was a manager, he'd get really annoyed that the players couldn't replicate what he wanted to do. And then would take it out on them, and they kind of thought it was a little bit unfair. And he said that resonated with him. Merson did, because Merson was, before he got too pissed, was quite a good footballer, wasn't he?
He wasn't too bad.
And when he went to Walsall, though, when he was managing lads at Walsall, he found it extremely tough to get across what he wanted to do, and he said he couldn't work out that, so he'd get angry with them. And I wonder maybe if there's a little sense of that as well. But then with that said, you know, I mean, the talent that he's got at his disposal at Everton is astronomically more than Paul Merson would have
had at
Walsall.
We've got good players. We've got good players. Who we signed mostly aren't being reasonable. You know, I know we spent, take the money out of it, the players are still good. Sigurdsson still good. Jordan Pickford. I think Jordan Pickford's the best goalkeeper we've had in decades, isn't he? Michael Keane, supposed to be really good. I know Michael Vincent Keane. He hasn't been great, but then the whole squad hasn't been great after, you know.
No.
He signed Rooney, who's a, you know, proven player. Davy Klaassen, on paper, Europa League finalist, Dutch international and captain of Ajax. Even Sandro Ramirez, who we really don't know too much about, do we? He was banging them in La Liga. Was it 17 goals someone said he got?
Something like that with Malaga last season.
17 goals. And as played and scored to Barcelona as well. He left because he wanted first team football. These aren't shy players.
No.
These are decent players that he's got, you know. But for whatever reason.
Well, there's a few names, incidentally, mate, that you picked out there that I think we just need to focus on for a second. And that's Joel and Kevin Morales. Now, these lads have fallen out with Martinez and Ronald Koeman now, and I can't quite remember if maybe Morales had a little bit of a to do with Moyes. I'm not sure, because Moyes brought him in, so maybe he liked him. But those players, you know, it doesn't look very good on them if they have fallen out with another manager, and there is an element.
It's two managers they've bobbed off on, basically.
Exactly,
yeah.
And this goes for the entire squad. If they do have to take. We've just said they're very good players. There's a lot of good players within our squad, but they have to take their share of the responsibility. I mean, you know, you can. I as I've already said, that I think some of them struggle to know what it is he wanted them to do, but you know, it's still down to them to go out and perform. And we've seen under par performances from a lot of them.
So
it's ironic, isn't it? The fact that Koeman saw us as the stepping stone, evidently. I read a quote
he's
today.
He's a long way away from that Barcelona job.
He's a long,
isn't
He's. I mean, good luck getting a job the size of Everton again, mate. You know, I
there is a case to say that we're the biggest club he's had. And if you can't do it with us...
Oh, arguably. I mean, Valencia are a pretty decently sized football club as well. So let's not take anything away from them.
I wasn't meant to be disrespectful of the clubs. But, I mean, we were worried a couple of months ago. You could probably measure it in weeks, couldn't you? We were worried he was going to go to Barcelona or Arsenal. And that just seemed... Which I seem to remember the exact same thing was the thing with Martinez after his first season. And look at that. You know, the parallels were alarming. He seemed to out Martinez in the end. Because the football was at the same quality.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised. I was just looking at that yesterday, I'm speechless how it's gone so wrong. It's gone so wrong so quickly. And it seems to... Martinez was a different one because he had that sort of mediocre middle season, didn't he? Where we were okay in Europe. But he hasn't had any of this. He's just gone from being okay last season and being bloody awful this year.
That's the strange thing, and that's why I think it is a little bit of a shock. I don't think it's still properly sank in for me. I'm just looking over some of his managerial statistics now. I think by the looks of it, you know, he did a pretty good job at Ajax, and then went to Benfica. His win percentage there was 55%, but it was over 49 games. Then he went on to PSV. I think at PSV he won the title with PSV. He won it with... what else did he win? He's won the Copa del Rey, obviously, with Valencia. That was the season he got sacked. And then he won something with Benfica as well. I don't know what that is. A Super Taka Kanda something. I know, that's probably like that.
I'll very much take your words for that one.
I'm absolutely not going to attempt to pronounce that. That was in 2005. No. Point being, anyway... It's Everton was a fantastic opportunity for him to step on to the next level as a manager, and he's come out of it not looking very good, has he? I think if we wouldn't have gone out and spent any money in the summer, and we'd have sold Lukaku, and it was old school Everton where he would have had to hang around in the bargain basement looking for loans, and then we started poorly, and then he kind of left as he's done. I think he would have left with a bit more reputation intact, but it's the way we've played, the fact that he spent that cash as well. That weighs around you, I think, as a manager, around your neck, you know what I mean?
I think it does. I mean, the more you spend, the more pressure you bring on yourself in some ways, don't you? Especially if you don't get it to work. On the other hand, if you spend loads of money and you end up winning loads, well, people go, well, so you should. You've just spent a ton of cash. I think the fact that you spend more, it magnifies how bad you do if you don't do well, and I think that's exactly what's happened here. He spent about £200 million, hasn't he, in total, since he's been here? Not just in this summer, but previous transfer windows as well.
Yeah.
You'd expect at least, at the very minimum, you'd expect to be getting into Europe and staying in Europe. At the minute, we've got into Europe and we've bombed everything else. We can't have it. And I'm glad that the board have taken action now and not in 3 or 4 weeks' time. I'm not saying that would have been too late either. It's only goal difference, as we say, a couple of wins and you'd be in the top half. Mm. But I think they've obviously seen, not right this, let's change it. I'm not one for, you know, not trigger happy, sack the manager now attitude, but I don't think they had much choice, and I'm glad they've done it.
It wouldn't surprise me, Dave, if they've gone to individual players and had a chat with them as well, and they've...
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've been to the training ground, spent a bit of time there last season, interviewed the women's team. And anyway, I looked where Robert Alston's office was, and it's like, well, where he was working at the time, I could see him through the window, was like just as you come into reception. Point being is he's there as well, so he is obviously privy to this stuff, and then he'll be passing information back onto Kenwright. I think it's a very good sign that the club have acted, because, and maybe they learned their lesson a little bit, because if they'd have chopped Martinez before the semi-final, who knows what would have happened. But, you know, that was a poor Man United side, wasn't it? I mean, very rarely...
It was. And we missed a penalty as well, don't forget.
Well, exactly. But anyway, this is all history. So, let's move on to potential candidates then.
Yeah.
I want to, just off the bat, I tell you what, we'll do it like this. I was just going to ask you who you wanted over everybody else, but I'd rather go through the names, and then when we potentially hit the one that you want, then you can say. We'll start with... Yeah. what I think is the obvious candidate anyway, and probably will be in charge for Chelsea, I'd assume. Is that's David Unsworth. What are your pros and cons?
Well, he is my first choice. I'll be honest. I know people are saying do it interim, which he is. I would be happy to see him take it full time. He's got his under 23 squad that would run through a wall for him. After, and they then rebuild the wall wherever he told them to. I think it'd be like he obviously, not that he commands respect or anything, but he obviously gets them on side, which is a proper man management. And that's something I remember that Joe Royle was very good at, so a lot of people said. Joe Royle came in, similar time of the season, similar situation, and turned it around completely. I think he would have the same effect as Joe Royle. We've seen he can, you know, he's had loads of the players already in the first team. He's got John Joe Kenny there, played yesterday. Tom Davies there. He knows Umar Nias. He's already familiar, and they're familiar with him. They've obviously... He seems to gel with his team, and he gets his team playing as a team. Mm. I know he's got no Premiership experience. I understand people's concerns there, but I personally... Ancelotti has got Premiership and top-level experience. Would he be good in a bottom three club? Mm. Not that I'm saying we are a bottom three club, but we're in the bottom three at the moment. Would he be good getting someone out? You know, Sam Allardyce excels at that. I'm not saying we go for him.
We're gonna go down. Dave, don't get ahead of yourself, mate. You just relax. Yeah, okay. We're still on Unzi, bud.
Unzi. I would give it to him, and I'm glad. It's him and John Ebrill, I think Sky Sports are saying he's got him for the Wednesday night game. I just hope that we do well. Regardless of the result, I think if we play well, in some ways I think it's nice that it's not a league fixture that he's diving in with. It's a tough one. It's away at Chelsea. I think if he gets us playing well, I will be happy.
I'm with you. I've come round to this more and more today. As an interim, well, you could give him the job. I mean, you know, you could say to him, you could sign like a short contract, give him the job, and then behind the scenes set the apparatus up to potentially look for that, you know, real quality manager if needed. But everything you said there makes sense. I mean, you know, the young players do love him. He's got he'll have the fans on his side. Now, this is more important than I think people are mentioning. For me, I think Unsworth would get a bit of time anyway, and I just think it would just kind of galvanise the place a little bit, and there would be that kind of dogs of war element, that and then the excitement, and a manager that, you know, gets Everton, obviously, that has an affinity with the club and understands us and loves the place. And
he's one of us.
Definitely. And then somebody who's won silverware with us as well.
Absolutely. This fella, when he was a player for another club, came to the Lower Gladys Street to watch Everton as a fan. Mm. You know, he's clearly an Evertonian. I think that goes a long way. Like you say, we haven't had every post-war manager every trophy that we've won post-war has been won by a former player as manager. Not obviously, I mean, that's just a nice little stat, but I wonder, does it say something? You know, I know that's not true of every club, clearly, but I think it counts for something, and I think it just gives us that extra little bit of oomph that Joe Royle gave us in November 1994, and we can just, I'm not saying we're going to win the FA Cup or anything like that, but I think it'll just do us good.
It is important.
He's obviously not clueless at football.
No, of course not. And he is doing good work. It's not... Somebody said on Twitter the other day it would be sentimental. And I said, no, it wouldn't. Duncan Ferguson would be sentimental. David Unsworth has got some really good credentials. But it is important that he's an Evertonian. I've seen people being quite flippant about this. We'll get onto Benitez in a little bit. But, you know, and they've been saying, I don't care if he supports Liverpool, if he's a Liverpool manager, whatever, you know. I just want someone who wins. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's important. Of course it is, but... I think football's a little bit more than that. It's more than just data and spreadsheets and you know, cold-hearted business decisions. There's a bit of it where you need that emotional connection, and he'd have that. We'd
Why
have that
are you
with
a fan
Unsworth.
Of Everton?
Well, exactly, because
why are you a fan of Everton? It's not because that you like the spreadsheets and the net spend, although looking at Twitter, I think some people do like that.
They do.
I've never been a fan of the boardroom stuff myself, but I know people go nuts on it. You're a football fan first and foremost, and that's
exactly.
Because you love Everton.
You have an emotional tie. An emotional tie, an emotional investment with that team, and somebody managing that team with the same emotional connections and ties is appealing. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah.
So I'm glad he's got it, and I hope he does well. If they give him a temporary one, like you say, maybe till Christmas or the end of the season, well, if he just gets us in the bottom half of the table and they don't like it, and he's not good enough, well, okay, he's done a good job. They want to go for someone else. He doesn't get sacked. He doesn't get dumped by the club. He says, okay, I've done a decent job. They want someone else. He goes back to his old job, so he doesn't get the humiliation, if you like, of being sacked. On the other hand, you may just have balls big enough to go and have a go at it anyway.
Exactly.
I'd just give him it. You've got to take a gamble sometimes, haven't you?
And I'm with you.
Let's face it, give it to him. The football cannot get any worse. I think we're the worst footballing team in the league this season.
We are.
It can't get any worse than that. This is a fellow who's
won well, Crystal Palace.
All those players ripped out of him for the first team, and then he's carried on doing well.
Mm.
He's got something about him, and he's one of us. I think we're sitting on a gem there, to be honest with you, and we're lucky we've got him. I'd give him a go.
I'm with you, mate. David Moyes.
Now, no. Ultimate no for me. I understand that I think sometimes it's the first thing that people think. Apparently, I'm led to believe that he wanted the job when Martinez went. I'm led to believe he wants the job again. But that could just be conjecture. Who knows? I wouldn't go with him myself. He would be my if everybody else says no and the other option is Neil Lennon. Well, then I'd go for Moyes. But he's not really.
Neil Warnock.
Do you know what I mean? If the other option was Neil Warnock, I would go and get David Moyes and drive him up here myself in the car. Alan Pardew would be another one. I don't anywhere near Everton. Moyes, I know he left a bad taste after he left. First time round, he was good. What I texted you before on the WhatsApp, I'd have 2002 David Moyes. I wouldn't have 2017 David Moyes. He did well at the time. We were right for him. He was right for us. He got us up the right end of the table, got us into a final, got us into Europe a few times, started making us a reasonably attractive proposition again. However, if he'd have gone to Man U, regardless of the comments he said about players and standing in the way of progress and, you know, Everton fans and all that, take that away. Just football in terms. If he'd have gone to Man U and then had a break and this had happened then and he'd come back, okay, I'd say, yeah, fair enough. He's gone and he's been sacked a couple of times and was relegated from the Premiership with Sunderland with a lot of members of his old squad. That's putting me off a lot. If he hadn't have had the relegation with him, so maybe think, yeah, okay, that maybe makes a bit more sense. But I am at the moment, I wouldn't have him unless we were really, really scraping the bottom of the barrel with your Neil Warnock and your Pardews and that. I'd have him then, but unless that's the alternative, I wouldn't personally.
I like that. You
but
said
that's just me.
Yeah, you said it was great. That was you said a proper dad thing. You said I text you on WhatsApp. Like you mixed two methods of communication, Dave.
Yeah,
proper
I emailed
dad
you on that Twitter.
Yeah, I emailed you on Twitter. Mate, no, again, you make some good points. For me, I'm a little bit more sympathetic to David Moyes. I think that the Man United job, he made a fundamental, massive error of judgment, I think, when he kind of ripped the soul out of there, the staff, the backroom staff there. If he'd have just gone in and then he'd brung in Round and whatever with him, if he'd have left that knobhead and he'd have just gone in and basically kept Ferguson's backroom
Steve
staff.
Steve Round and his
notepad. And didn't try and, like, turf all, like, the older pros of the squad out of the side, you know, and just went in and he didn't upset his old club. He could have played it really easy. As you said, mate, yeah, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say he took the side that won the league at a canter and then finished seventh with them. Was that you were going to say?
It's not that so much. No, it wasn't. I think he took a few with him. He took Philip Neville with him, didn't he? Which I thought was okay. That was a decent move.
Yeah.
You know, the fella's a Man U man through and through. He'd never hit that fair enough. But it was Steve Round.
Yeah.
With his notepad. And he's just up, you know, clear off all you winners. Get out. I've got Steve Round and his headset. You know, it's that to me was just crackers, you know. But, you know, again, you can look back and say that, couldn't you? That was 5 years ago now, wasn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, well, it will be, yeah. Four, five years ago. Yeah, four, five
you
seasons.
Know,
five seasons,
so,
maybe.
Ultimately, 2012, 13, something like that. I can't remember exactly. It was a few years ago. But no, I'd have that Moyes, but I wouldn't have the Moyes now. Unless it was literally dire straits of Neil Warnock.
Yeah, I agree. Plus, there's the mentality thing with Moyes as well. You know, he always kind of played us down, and I don't like that. Sean Dyche.
The plus point for that is...
Oh, go on.
All I was going to say was that the plus point for Moyes would be that I don't think we've defended properly since he was here, and he'd get that set up and at least make us hard to beat. But then, obviously, there's only so far. Maybe even him as a short term, you know,
yeah.
Christmas to the end of the season, once on his way, it's got to Christmas. I think long term, Goat on the site said they're the same thing. He'd have him short term, but long term, it'd be a disaster because we'd just go backwards. But Sean Dyche, no, nothing personal against him. I think he's just perhaps a bit too much of a younger Sam Allardyce for me. So I know that's got its plus points in the, you know, safety specialists and all that. But no, I think we can and should do better now that we've got an opportunity to get the right person in. And I think the right person's in, like I said. But no, ultimately, nothing personal against him at all. He sounds like he drinks gravel. I think that's fantastic. You know, when he's speaking, he sounds like Macy Gray with laryngitis, doesn't he? But I'm sure he's a lovely fella, but not for me.
Yeah, not a big enough fish. Done some good work with Burnley, without a shadow of a doubt. But I think
I'm not belittling what he's done.
No, one of the biggest issues with Dyche is, Dave, I think it just wouldn't excite the fan base. And that is really important for me now. And I just think that wouldn't happen. Eddie Howe, Evertonian.
Evertonian, but I don't know. Now, people keep saying this, and he's a nice fella. He's done okay with Bournemouth. There's something about him that says to me at the moment, no, maybe he needs to go and do something a bit more than just with Bournemouth. I don't know. I think maybe one day he will be our manager, depending on how things go, depending on whether we win anything at Champions League. I know this is obviously getting a bit ahead of ourselves. If we just toss along like we have done, maybe come then. No, for me at the moment, I'm not. If we got him, I wouldn't be disappointed. But in the same way that we got Koeman, I wasn't disappointed, but I wasn't wowed either. I suppose I wouldn't. I know they're completely different football styles, but I probably have the same emotion towards him as Sean Dyche. I know he's an Evertonian. Good on him. good on him, and I'm sorry about that, Eddie. But, you know. Ultimately, no. But if he came, obviously, I'd get behind him.
Dave, out of the top four, well, obviously, Unsworth, we've both agreed that Unsworth would be our first choice at the moment. Eddie Howe would be the second out of those other three, I think, out of Moyes and Dyche. I think I personally think he's done a terrific job with Bournemouth. And to take a club like Bournemouth and to cement them now as a mid-table Prem side, I know they're below us at the moment. They've not had the best start. Went to the Britannia Stadium, the Bet365 Stadium on Saturday and got a good win against Stoke, although they're struggling, to be fair, and I'll probably mention them in a minute because I was having a few conversations with Stoke fans today because I work with a lot of them, which was interesting the way they were looking at us and going, oh, God, you've sacked Koeman now. Oh, if we want to sack Hughes, it's going to be even harder for us to get a manager with West Ham looking for one potentially, and Leicester, three bigger clubs than them, you know. But anyway, so for me, I think Eddie Howe's done a really good job, but I think I just don't think it's the right time for him at Everton. I think it's a bit of a tough job, and I don't really think. I think he might be a bit cautious.
One day in the future, but not now.
Now, Allardyce is a weird one because he keeps on getting linked, as he does with every job, but he's retired. The bloke came out and said, I'm leaving Crystal Palace because I want to retire from management. Have I missed something?
Well, the thing about Allardyce is I like him as a manager of other clubs, but I don't want him here.
I don't know
if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does.
Maybe
it does
that
completely.
Sounds a bit odd. It's probably based on nothing logical. I mean, even if you're ignoring his, I like this word, alleged dodginess, you know, it was him and his son who had dealings with, was it agents? They did the documentary, didn't they? It was a while ago. I've slept since then and I've forgotten the
exact
details.
What, England thing?
I could in some way. Wasn't there something with his son being an agent taking dodgy cash? I might be entirely wrong. So to save us getting any trouble.
Yeah, allegedly, let's not get sued.
There was a, Yeah, allegedly there was a BBC documentary a while ago that didn't paint either of them in the best light.
No.
We'll leave it at there.
I think we do. I think we can just leave that one there. I mean, it's a no. It's a non-starter for me. I don't
want him.
No, it's just
he's a character. I mean, I get that, but I don't want him.
Out of all of them, he'd be last. Seriously, out of the ones that I've said so far, they've all got more pluses than Aldaz. Mm. And I don't necessarily think. Look, if you're Stoke City, with the utmost respect, or Bournemouth, or even Leicester, and you find yourself in a bit of an issue in a few months' time and you want to get somebody in to save you, then go and get Aldaz. But we can't be going down this road now. I'm sorry, we just can't.
No, like, I don't think so. It's the total wrong way.
It is.
Complete wrong direction.
It is. So, right, I'm going to try to say his name. Paulo Fonseca. Fonseca, you say it.
I don't know much about this fella.
Paolo say his Fonseca. Name. Fonseca, there you go. I need a Scouse accent, I'd have got that. For some reason, there's the foreign names, Scousers can say them really well, like, I can't.
It's because some of the languages, especially French, a lot of it's spoken through the nose, so we tend to do that sometimes with this accent. So
suits you. See, whereas I speak from the gut, by the sound of it.
I could be talking absolute rubbish.
No, I think you're right, mate. Fonseca. So you just said it really quickly, Paulo Fonseca. Is that right?
Is it Paulo Fonseca? I think so.
Fonseca. Yeah.
That shows how much notice I've taken of him. I've got no idea who he is.
Anyway, he's the Shakhtar Donetsk manager. He's won the treble with them
last season.
Oh,
the young fella. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, the young fella.
I know exactly who he is. Sorry.
There was an interview in the Times, Dave. Well, I don't know if you saw it, and he was saying how he. This was last week, and he was saying how he wanted to come to England. He's got a really good pedigree, and I was reading an article earlier. Obviously having a little break from work. I've done lots of work today. But I just had a little break to read this article. Mate, I was very impressed. He sounds like a brilliant, brilliant coach.
Is he winning things over there? They haven't got many. Is he the fellow that said he's winning titles and they've got next to no fans?
Yeah, no, he's won the treble. Him? No, Shakhtar Donetsk. Yeah, no, they've got fans, I think. Yeah,
won a few stuff, though, hasn't he? I don't know much about him. To be perfectly honest, I was doing a little bit of reading up on him today.
But Dave, I know you don't know too much about him, and neither do I, mate. He is an unknown property. But does it just sound a little bit kind of, you know, like a?
Oh, he sounds fantastic with a name like that.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. But that continental,
fantastic, wonderful, yeah.
That continental style, and is that what we need at this moment? Do we not need to be a little bit more combative?
This is going to sound stupid. I think we need to just be solid, difficult to. Beat, hard to break down, and take it from there. Get a few clean sheets under our belt, win a few games. Dare I say it, that's exactly what Moyes would have us do. But I'm not sure that his style, Len, is the style that we need. It's difficult to say without knowing too much about him, but from what you said then, I'm not sure that's what we want.
Yeah, I mean, I'm no expert either. I'm a little bit naive. As I say, I skimmed over the article and shared it via Twitter. But, you know, maybe you can mix it up. Maybe there'll be people, you know, comment underneath and say, actually, you know, this fella could do a job. He's highly rated. I wonder if he's got a little bit of the, you know, the fella at Watford about him. But we'll see. Anyway, that one could come out of somewhere. Carlo Ancelotti, for me, I don't know, again, why he's being touted how he was.
Did you say
time.
He drooled himself out? Did you before?
I vaguely heard something on TalkSport, but it's as I pulled into my drive and then the news started and I was like, I'm not waiting for it. I got out. I'm hungry. No. So I got out of my car. But
well, the thing about him is he's got a lot of top end experience, and that's wonderful. You know, he's obviously won stuff. He's been Chelsea. He's got Premiership experience. I think he was sacked in the tunnel in Goodison, wasn't he? I have a feeling. Was that Andre Villas-Boas? Oh, no, it might have been Villas-Boas who was sacked. I can't remember which one of them it was. He's got Premiership experience. He's obviously good at managing, you know, egos and big-name players. But is that what we want? How would he be when he's in a lower half of the table scrap to get into the top half? Would that necessarily be the best thing? You know, I mean, I suppose it's easier to manage a team full of quality players who are stars than it is managing a team of reasonably good players who are struggling a little bit with the confidence and everything else. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's a crap manager. Obviously, he's not. He's really good. Is he what we need? I'm not sure it is. I think we need just a little bit of grit and determination. Would he give us that? Not so sure. I think it's finding the man who does.
He's definitely a name that would, I think, make the neutral and other fans.
He would excite.
Yes. And other fans would go, whoa, Everton mean business, they're getting Ancelotti in. And he's an elite manager, and he would fit into that, you know, the gaggle now of the top six. And then Koeman was kind of before, obviously, this season, on the cusp of them. I think Ancelotti would be, you know, you'd put him in that bracket. He'd sit alongside, he does sit alongside, for me, Mourinho's, Klopp's, you know,
oh, yeah, don't
that
get me
kind
wrong.
Of
don't get
ilk.
Me wrong. If he was going to come to us, I'm sure people listen to this and say, what's he on about? He wouldn't have Ancelotti. That's not really what I mean. If he
no, I know it's not, mate. I know it's not.
Wonders. I just wonder, do we need something a bit more solid than what he would give at the moment? But there's a reason he's a football manager and I'm not.
No, I think they're genuine concerns, mate. And if anything, actually, I was going to back up and back up your point, mate. And I was going to say, would he have the stomach or the heart or the desire to come in and you know and try and get us out of this hole? I'm not sure. So I agree with you. I do agree with you. However, if he's interested in the summer, and say Unsworth's done an okay job, but we all kind of agree that, you know, he's done all right. He's got us mid-table. Maybe we've had a little run in the cup. But, you know, we go, okay, he probably needs to go back now and learn his trade a little bit more. And Ancelotti wants to come in the summer and have a proper summer to build, then I'm probably be on board. Final one, Dave, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
Benitez.
Yeah.
Controversial.
Benitez. I know your mate on Twitter. Graham Seddon, is it?
Yeah.
He was advocating him last week. He got quite a lot of stick for it. I sat wonderfully on the fence there. It was quite comfy getting splinters. I could understand people wanting him because he's won stuff. You know, I understand people not wanting him because of the things that he said when he was across the park, you know, the small club after Andy Johnson told him a new one. I would probably err on the side of no. To be honest with you, if he came, I would get behind him. Obviously, I just can't see it happening. To be honest, I don't think they'd go for him. If he came, he'd probably do all right. In all fairness, but the fans would just get on his back, so that'd probably hamper it. Is it worth it? I wouldn't say so. I think that just backs up Unsworth's point more. People would be behind him from the way go. He'd be on a winner, I think.
I'm not.
What do
on
you
the
think
fence.
About Benitez?
I'm not on the fence, Dave. I am 100% no. Mm. No, with the strongest, honestly, out of all of them, I feel passionately about this, and it goes back to the whole kind of emotional investment in your team and that kind of identity thing. Look, I'm not denying or doubting that Rafa Benitez is a very good football manager. He evidently is. He's doing a terrific job again at Newcastle now. Mm. What he did with the Reds at that time, although it pains me, It was great for them, you know. He did a fantastic job, but no way, we can't have Rafa Benitez as manager of Everton Football Club. As you say, he's got an affinity with Liverpool. That's his team, and that's fair enough. We despise them, but that's fair enough. That's his thing. If he was Everton manager, one, he is exactly what this fan base doesn't need now, because he would from the word go. Imagine his first game, we go a goal behind, people in the stands. It'd be terrible, mate. It's a dreadful idea. And Seddo, I like Seddo, as you say.
They appoint him to...
he's my mate, but that one, if I didn't see him getting stick for it, but as long as it wasn't too bad, obviously, but he deserves a bit of stick
for
that.
No, it wasn't too bad. No.
I'll tweet him this after, because that's mental.
He took a few pelters, like, but not in too serious.
he's used to it, to be fair, Seddo is.
The thing that would sway me, no. Towards Benitez is a little bit of the Liverpool part. We keep, you know, it's said so many times now, isn't it? When, you know, good or bad results, or there's a derby five times. He was the fella who gave him the fifth one. Do we want that person on our doorstep? No. I don't think so.
We don't.
So,
we
no.
Don't.
I think ultimately I'd agree with you. Yeah, I know he was your last one. Could I just mention, is it Thomas Tuchel? Apparently he's in the running, or people have mentioned he's in the odds lists. I'm surprised I haven't seen Martin O'Neill. Because he's normally mentioned on every list going, isn't he?
He was linked with us last time, wasn't he? Yeah. There's a few. Yeah. There are a few other names. I mean, literally picked out the ones. Go on, sorry, mate.
Well, Tuchel's getting bigged up quite a bit by a few people. He took over from Jurgen Klopp when he left. He was in charge of Dortmund, but I think he left under a bit of a cloud. I'm not sure what it was. Someone said he left because he was standing up for the players. For some incident. I don't know exactly what it was. I can't remember, and I didn't get a chance to read too much about it.
Where? Yeah. So...
But people were saying people were saying actually good on him for standing up for his players and doing that. So he's supposed to be a you know, a bright young thing. He's 44. He's apparently not too bad. German fella, as far as I know, at Dortmund, yeah. But people are talking good things about him. Again, I don't know too much about him. But yeah, people are, he seems to be a popular name and he's available.
Yes. Do you know what? Incidentally, I'm looking over it now. Obviously, I was aware that he'd gone somewhere else, but obviously he hasn't. This would make the derby a little bit more tasty. You know, the fact that him and Klopp have got that Dortmund thing, and I'm sure he'd love to get one over on him. So yeah, you know, look, I'm not adverse to him either, to be honest. In fact, I'm looking at the list, and you know, maybe
I think he'd be my second favourite, to be honest.
I agree, and. I might even, if he's available now and a bit of thought goes into it, then you know, maybe him with Unsworth as his assistant, who knows. But yeah, there are candidates out there, and that, just going back to the Benitez thing again, that's what makes me think we don't need to go down this road with Benitez. It'd be fine if it was like Sean Dyche or Benitez and that were only two options. There's more options, you know, there's more about, and it's probably why we don't need to go back to David Moyes. You know what I mean? There are some good managers that we could potentially get hold of. So so thanks for going through that with me again, Dave.
Anytime.
It's always good fun, and hopefully onwards and upwards. Now obviously, you know, we've got Chelsea on Wednesday, and then who have we got? Is it Leicester on Sunday? So yeah,
I would just prioritise the league myself, so let's see where Unsworth gets us for now, because I think it's him and Eberle in charge temporarily at least, so get behind. I'm sure everybody will. Best of luck to him.
Yeah, and let's just one caveat at the end of the podcast. It might not be plain sailing for a couple of weeks. Can we just when we're at Goodison, you know, we've got Watford the week after, which I had to miss the Arsenal game, and I still would have liked to have been there because you never want to miss it, you know, an Everton game. And I just want to try and get a little bit more kind of enthusiasm and excitement and togetherness again within the fan base. And you know, I just think to create a bit of an atmosphere again at Goodison and get the place rocking. And I get that, you know, the players have to do their bit, but as supporters, I think sometimes we have to do our bit. And speaking to Gareth Farrelly, you know, he was talking about on Friday, an interview with him, and that'll be out on the YouTube channel, Dave, in the next couple of days. So for those listening, you know, look out for that. But he was talking about how, you know, when he was on the pitch playing for Everton, he was having a rough time. I think it was the game before the one, you know, that he got the winner against Coventry and kept us up. And he was saying how there was a match, I think they were playing West Ham or Leicester or somebody, and he missed a chance, and he could hear people giving him a load of abuse at Goodison, and he could hear the boos, and he said, you just get on with it. But I've been thinking about it, and I've been thinking, you know, that's not, sometimes, like, players aren't trying, give them a bit of ag, but sometimes I just think we can cut our nose off to spite our face. Do you know what I mean?
I think sometimes, I mean, when they sacked Mike Walker and Joe Royle came in, everyone was behind Joe Royle, everybody got behind him, and look what happened there. You know, there was no constant booing. There was not that I'm criticising the fans. If, you know, you want to boo, that's entirely up to you. You paid your money, you know, that's your prerogative. I'm not criticising any fan for feeling one way or the other. But everybody got behind him. At the minute, it might just be getting, you know, the atmosphere, or rather, up until today, the atmosphere might not have been conducive to good football, or getting the players to produce good football. They might be low on confidence themselves with the now former manager. And if, you know, the odd things are shouted and it's getting in the reds and the reds go down, I'm not blaming the fans for it. You know, it's just, it's maybe sometimes just a few shouts of encouragement instead of, you're useless, get off and all that, which again, I've done and I do. You know, it's all very well to sit here when you're not in the heat of a match and say these things, isn't it? Once you're there and you're shouting and that, you know, you shout things, but perhaps maybe just they need the support rather than you know, booze at the moment, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, get over to the YouTube channel. We've got the Neville Southall interview on there and a chat with Alan Myers that went up a little bit late. Myers is talking about Koeman on that, so you'll have to excuse that bit, but still quite insightful. It's a good little anecdote with regards to Rooney on there as well, so check that video out. Plus, we've got the a conversation with Jimmy Ball, Alan Ball's son, that's going to be launched on the podcast, I think, in the next couple of days. So keep an eye out for that, or an ear out for that in the case of the podcast. And as always, thank you for listening to Grand Old Team. Make sure, if you're listening on iTunes or whatever, just or wherever you're listening, to give us a little like rating, a good one. So do that and subscribe if you haven't. So yeah, thanks for listening to the Grand Old Team podcast. See you again next time. Hello Blues, welcome back to the Grand Old Team podcast. I'm Adam Partington. As you will already know, there's been some massive news out of Everton today. Ronald Koeman has been sacked. So as soon as I got home from work, me and Dave jumped on a call, Groucho from the site, and decided to record a podcast. However, the first 2 minutes, it's just a little bit crackly, so you just got to bear with it, but stick with it. It soon goes away. And obviously, you know, this is a really good episode. Enjoyed doing it. We look at the different candidates, potentially people who can replace Ronald Koeman. So as always, enjoy. But I just wanted to give you the heads up before the podcast started. To stick with it, and as always, thank you for listening to Grand Old Team. Enjoy.